Ovadkin.
That was last week.
Surprise!
Surprise! Falco
part two.
More about Go. No, just kidding. This week we are talking about Skritti Politti.
Are we just going to do that as our intro?
I spring the intro on you every week. Yes. It's just kind of our shtick at this point.
Yeah, we're just going with it. Episode, what, 32?
32. Which is neither of our ages this time.
It'll be my age in like 3 weeks.
That's right.
And then this will probably be the last time. Yeah, I'm not going to do that every year. Like, next year I will be.
She's lying. Next week you're going to hear her say the same thing. So today, here on episode 32 on Offbeat Tracks, we're going to talk about Skritti Politti.
Yes.
And I feel like I'm kind of having my Falco moment with this.
Danielle
kind of got to do Falco last week. And then I will say, though, this was her idea to do Skritti Politti this week. So.
I was just surprised we hadn't done it yet. I was thinking about it. So I was like, why not? I got a Falco, you get a Skritti.
That's right. I love Skritti Politti from the bottom of my heart. They're just one of my favorite musical artists. I say they, I use they loosely. Skritti Politti is really the traveling name of one musician named Green Gartside and a cast of other characters who have joined him on his travels throughout the years. So really, Skritti Politti is him. But you say it's a they because every time they have performed, which has not been too much, they do operate as a band. So I still refer to Skritti Politti as a band, even though it's Green Gartside and whoever wants to hang out with Green Gartside. That's what Skritti Politti is. Little brief bit of background on Skritti Politti. They were formed in Leeds, England. They are from the mid country of England.
Yep.
Green is Welsh. He's from Cardiff.
Yep.
In Wales, and I think he was going to school in Leeds, which is where he met the other two dudes who were initially in Skritti Politti. And when they formed, they were kind of like this anarchist Marxist punk group.
Yeah. Green is like this young communist guy.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a lot, the early stuff.
It is. It was very politically charged. And there is a fabulous documentary that we will definitely include in the playlist for this, where they talked to, it was a documentary about Rough Trade, which was their first record label they got signed to. But they do a lot of talking about how they got their start. And it's all very interesting. I'd never heard any of this until I stumbled across this documentary. But when they did these early records, everything was DIY. They did it all themselves. They basically, Green says in the interview, like, we didn't know that you didn't have to have a record deal to get a record pressed. Like, we didn't know you could just take a tape down to the record pressing plant and go, here, can you please press this onto records? Like, so they figured out they could do that. They recorded this song called Skank Block Bologna, and this was their first single. They had it pressed. And there's footage in this Rough Trade documentary of the guys from Skritti Politti making the sleeves for the record. They made them themselves, and they printed instructions on the sleeve for how to make your own record because they wanted other people to be able to do this. So they break down the cost on it. It's like, here's, you know, you need 40 quid to do this and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know how British conversion rates work. So whatever, 40 quid might be $80,000. I don't know. I have no idea.
Now it's about $40.
Yeah.
Right now it is.
So anyway, they break down the whole cost, and that was like, you can see them like folding the little sleeves over their stack of pressed 45s and getting them ready to sell at shows, I guess.
That's completely absurd.
Yeah.
Completely.
But it's very Skritti Politti.
Yes.
Green Gartside is a very, very smart guy. I'll get more into that later, but he's a very, 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 very smart person, and it shows through in his work a lot. Let's throw in a clip here of Skank Block Bologna so you can just kind of get this idea of what the early Skritti sounded like.
Good Lord. Down at the pole and push.
All right, so yeah, very anarchist punky.
Yeah, it's not my kind of bag. It's about the Italian Revolution, by the way.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's like ripped from the headlines.
Yeah.
Skritti Politti. It's a lot. A lot.
So Green Gartside, this man who we've said kind of is Skritti Politti, shortly after this has what he described he would later find out as a panic attack. He talked about this in the Rough Trade documentary as well, but he had some massive health problems. He basically was not taking care of his own issues and whatever those may have been at the time, just probably stress. And he had to move back home to Wales for a bit and move back in with his parents. And he says that around this time, his parents had moved from Wales to Florida in the United States. And this was his first trip to the United States. So he moved to Florida with his parents. And he says this was the first time he ever heard what he described as, quote, black American music. So he started listening to funk music, and this was his first exposure to...
They didn't have an R&B station in Cardiff?
You know, it's England.
Yeah.
And slash Wales. Okay. All right. What do you want?
Got to go to Fort Lauderdale for that good American funk.
So I guess Green comes over to America, hears funk music, and he's like, oh, well, this is way better, and I should be doing this instead of this funk bullshit.
I completely agree. Yes.
So I guess he... revamps with his, you know, he goes back to the other guys in Scritti Plitty and is basically like, yo, I want to retool and I want to do this.
Who are my friends this week?
And they're like, I don't think so. So I think they kind of dip set gone because he writes this song, The Sweetest Girl. Mm-hmm. And he does this, I'm going on my drum machine tiff here, but he does this with a Roland CR78 drum machine, which is the same drum machine on Phil Collins's In the Air Tonight. You'll notice a similarity. Yeah. Well, Phil plays that part. This would be like for the...
Okay.
Yeah, like the background. Okay, yeah. However you make that noise with your mouth. But yeah. So he writes this song, The Sweetest Girl, and yeah, basically his punk cohorts are like, dude.
I'm sorry, I'm on the however you make the word. I want someone to beatbox like that, or they actually don't actually beatbox. They just describe what it would sound like if they were beatboxing.
Brilliant.
Anyway,
come up with a new art form.
It's very Green Guard side, actually.
It is.
Anyway, go ahead.
Yes. So anyway, here's The Sweetest Girl. So this was all followed by an album he puts out called Songs to Remember. This was kind of the first real Scritti Plitty album. The punk stuff was just, I think, a few EPs and singles here and there. It was all little 7-inch stuff. But this was an actual full LP called Songs to Remember. If you're interested in this early stuff, you can listen to it. It's all on Spotify. I think he released it all on a compilation called Early or Early's.
Yeah, something it's like one that. Of those, I think, Spotify ones that kind of dips in and out of availability. Like, when I went to go check it out on Spotify, it was not on there.
Interesting.
Much like Andy Gibb. I am bringing him back up. But actually, it is like that. They do that with Andy Gibb songs. So, like, I'll get really excited about Andy Gibb.
Interesting. I mean,
but anyway, yes. So this, like, keep an eye out for it.
Yes.
Don't get mad if it's not available. Because
it's not, I mean, it's all on YouTube. It's not hard to find.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, if you're into the punk stuff, this would be a good place to start. But really, what we want to talk about when we talk about Scritti Plitty, we want to talk about his magnum opus. This was 1985's brilliant, brilliant album, Cupid and Psyche 85.
It is very good.
This is my second favorite album of all time. It is my favorite album of the 1980s.
What's your first?
SSQ's Playback.
Okay, that makes sense. All right.
But overall, like, if you're just talking about works of the 80s, I give Cupid and Psyche 85 the number one slot.
Did you know that Elton John also loved this? I saw this in the Wikipedia article. I mean,
Elton John was a Scritti Plitty fan?
Yes.
I knew Miles Davis was, but we'll get to that.
I should have had this handy. I just thought about it. No, he like said something about... On the episode of his radio show, Elton John's Rocket Hour, which I did not know was a thing, broadcast on Apple Music Beats 1 online radio station.
Oh, so this is recent.
On October 24th, 2015.
Oh.
Elton John said that he considered this album to be the best produced electronic album of the 1980s.
Well, there you go.
Coming to you straight from the man who did I'm Still Standing. And then he purchases a copy whenever he sees it in order to share them with other people.
Well, that is so cool.
He's such a giving man.
I have done that. I have bought copies of Cupid and Psyche 85 when I've seen them out to give to friends,
too. You and Elton John.
I've done that.
Samesies.
Guilty.
Twinsies.
I mean, like, this to me, this is one of those albums. This is up there with Thriller. This is up there with, I don't know, the Big Chill soundtrack, whatever. You know,
it is really good.
One of those albums that everybody should own a copy of.
I own a copy of it on vinyl.
For exactly the reason he said. I mean, you do not get a better synth pop album than this.
It is very, very good.
So we're going to run down almost all of the tracks, not all of them here. But the first single from it was this song called Would Be's Pray Like Aretha Franklin.
So funky and so good. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. I love this song.
This hit pretty big in the US and the UK, mm-hmm. out of the gate for him. It's a cute little play on words.
Good bass.
Yeah.
Sweet bass.
Yeah, the bass on this album is nuts. It was, I think most of the bass was done with a Moog, and there are like, you can find videos of people on YouTube, like, trying desperately to replicate the bass lines from this record, because it's one of those things that it's noted for.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wonder what Aretha Franklin thinks of this song.
I don't know. I wonder if anyone's ever asked her.
You think she knows it exists?
I mean, she was around at the same time as this. Like, she was coming out with stuff. Like, I think Freeway of Love was probably out about same time as this. So it wasn't like she was in one of her I'm not making albums moments.
Yes. I definitely took this as kind of his tribute to.
I wish we had her number. Quote, we'd call her quote, live on the show.
The quote, black American music that he was listening to when he decided to make this kind of music, you know?
Black American music. Right. <Yeah. laughs>
Absolute was Green's first. I keep saying Green. It is Skritti Plitti. I have to differentiate, I suppose. Yes, Skritti Plitti.
It's all him.
Yeah, it is all him.
I mean,
Absolute is this, and I think Absolute is the first song on the record. I'm trying to go. You'd think I would have known. I don't know the last time I listened to Cupid and Psyche like front to back. It's always on shuffle, but I'm pretty sure Absolute is the first track, and it's just great start to the whole thing. More of his kind of. His soft delivery. That's kind of the thing. Like, he's known for this very, when he speaks, you don't think he would have that kind of that high delivery, but yeah, his singing voice is just so, it's so soft.
It's very soft. It's very that light, wavy, airy.
Yeah. It's kind like, of vocal. It's like Chantilly. It's
to me, it's like that perfect, when you idealize what that like kind of mid to late 80s vocal is in your head, that like, that is Green Gartside. That's what this is to me. Like, and actually, the word "girl."
Oh yeah, sure, of course.
Is first. Well, I just checked it.
Cool. But. Well, hell, let's talk about the word "girl" now. So,
let's talk about the word "girl."
The word "girl" is like kind of reggae influenced. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I kind of can't with reggae pop.
Oh.
Like, I don't know. It exhausts me, and I just find it weird. It's like when white dudes talk about hip hop. That's how it makes me feel.
Okay.
Like, apart from when I went through like that Police phase. In high school, that will always be dear to me, but I can't do much else. Like, I cannot take reggae white people stuff seriously.
It makes so much sense, though, now that I read, you know, or heard him say that in the documentary about listening to black American music. Because it's sort of like he was trying to touch on every single, you know, like, here, let me do some funk and let me do some reggae. Word "girl" is just, it's very, yeah, it's like you said, it's kind of a straight up reggae pop.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff is also bigger in the UK. He had probably more of an influence than that.
That is very true.
That stuff made it into the charts all the time.
Right, and Word "girl" was not a hit in the US. You're right, but it was a hit in the UK. You're absolutely right about that. And reggae has been a thing in England since
late 70s. Yeah, they've got like a lot of Jamaicans and all that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We should note also, by the way, that Word "girl" is kind of reworked later on in the album into a song called "Flesh and Blood," where a reggae singer sings some new verses of it. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I think that Hypnotize might have been the first video he shot for this record.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And I can't even remember if I could find a copy of the Hypnotize music video. It feels like it's been years and years since I've seen it. But it's like, it's very, you know, very sterile, like him kind of in a British manner sort of thing.
I'm going to be honest, like, I find him to be one of the least cool human beings on the planet. Like, I don't know if that's, like, offensive. I don't think it's bad. I like a Falco. Come on.
I think Green would take that as a compliment.
Yeah, like, he's just, I don't know, like, just not cool at all. His whole persona, like, that, like, overly thinking thing and just, I don't know, he's very square.
Right, and I mean, his music is very, I mean, like, the lyrics it's of his songs.
Very cerebral,
very lofty. Whew. I mean, he talks about Immanuel Kant, and he talks about the Tupamaros.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's a lot. It's like, a lot.
I found this quote.
But the
this
music,
is...
the music is just so clean and polished and saccharine.
And it's so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found this really great quote in an article about like how this is from 2006 when he like started coming out with something else, which we'll get to.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But it's talking about how he's like the smart guy of pop music and he shares the title with Brian Eno. Like, you have no other smart people. Anyway. This made me laugh so much. This is why he's the least cool person on the planet. The tension between Gartside's appetite for deconstruction and his longing to abandon himself to the wordless joys of pop have nourished and tormented him. Quote, this is from him. "I still look for disorienting moments in pop," he says. "Sometimes music can still be too powerful to deal with. It might just be an old Motown hit on the radio that is at the same time asking too much of me and giving me too much. It happens to my wife, too. We'll have to stop listening to it because we'll be floored or we won't be able to sleep. The Jackson's Victory album, for instance, the other day, we actually had to turn it off." This man got emotionally floored by the Jackson's Victory album.
But see, I think that is a gift in itself to have your brain in that space.
When you just overdo
that, you're so
it.
Moved and so saturated by everything. But I mean, it's like, you know, his corpuscles and his cylinders have got to be firing at 100 all the time.
Like,
you know,
isn't it?
And I think Hypnotize is one of those first times
where
he
had that panic attack.
Right? Hypnotize is one of the first times I think that really kind of shines
heard
through.
Saturday Night Fever and just lost his shit.
He has a lyric in that's the lyric in Hypnotize that always stuck with me was, mm-hmm. "I forget to believe in heaven when I look at you."
Yeah.
I mean, come on. There's like, who thinks like that?
A lot of that. It's very lofty. How could your muffins be so sweet? You left your love letters incomplete. What a girl got nothing to do. But she got that much for you. What the girl been putting you through. But she got that much for you. Down on the beach, out in the bay. What the sirens say.
So this is not only my favorite Skitty Politi song, but it is also my second favorite song of all time, behind Only Walk Like an Egyptian by the Bengals.
Okay.
This is Perfect Way.
Great song.
Which is his biggest hit in the U.S. Oddly, not a hit at all back home for him in the U.K.
Very weird,
this song
right?
did not do anything back home for him. But Perfect Way is a perfect song. I
it
mean,
is.
You don't
love it.
Yeah, this is the pinnacle of synth pop. This
and
is the ultimate. This is the ultimate
played.
Synth pop song.
It still gets played a lot. Like, I hear it at Kroger all the time.
Yeah.
It's on the Kroger playlist, and I get so excited.
You hear
and
it
I
on these
around.
retro 80s playlists. We'll throw this one in.
Oh yeah, it's not
even
forgotten.
Even though most people I think would not be able to name Skitty Politi, they would probably know this song if they heard it.
It's around. And God, it's so good.
Here's the thing, too. Skitty, if you look at these interviews that we'll have in the playlist. He mentions a handful of times that they don't perform live. He says, you know, we're not a live performing act. We don't tour. We don't play live. And that changed for him when he released the White Bread Black Beer album in 2006. But he has never performed Perfect Way live, ever.
Wow.
And if you look at videos of that people have posted of these performances post 2006. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing in one of the video descriptions that somebody said that he started the show by saying, "No, I will not be performing Perfect Way tonight." It was one of the US shows.
I love it.
So I think this kind of goes back to what we were just talking about a minute ago, I think when you're inside your own head that much, and when you're that smart, that it you, sometimes you can be tortured by your own art. And I think for whatever reason, he is just, he doesn't like this song. And I don't yeah. get it, because to me, it's the greatest thing he's ever done. But maybe, I don't know. Is there such a thing as, like, if you're so smart and you create something so perfect that you end up hating it? Is there some kind of, like, evil mega boss, you know, self-destruction thing going on here?
I think maybe part of it for him is that, like, he's a shy dude. Like, he's not, he doesn't want to be famous. Like, he, like, hid in Wales for, like, 15 years.
Yep.
So I think maybe he doesn't like the fame that goes along with the perfect way thing. He's just like, I'm here, I'm performing some songs. Don't lose your shit about it.
Right.
But if you do that with Perfect Way, it's just going to be like...
I can't believe that no evidence has ever surfaced. I mean, we're in 2017. You know, video is everywhere of everything. How has there never been any evidence surfaced ever of him performing this song live whatsoever? I mean, you literally would not know that he had anything to do with this song if he did not appear in the music video for it.
Maybe he forgot the words. I don't know.
He's actually writing them, like, in the video. There's a shot of him writing the words down, so I don't think he forgot them.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I mean, a lot of acts do that. They won't perform their biggest song because they're like, look at the rest of my art.
It's just strange.
I'm such an asshole about art.
I mean, but, like, not once ever.
Yeah, I mean, like, I wonder if he performed it, like, back when it was
popular. I don't think he did, because that was in the era of we don't perform live. There's, like, one clip you can find of them performing on American Bandstand, but that's about it.
Wow.
And you can't tell what song they did because, you know, the Dick Clark Company has the rights to everything. So
and they probably lip-synced it.
You just
anyway.
See his interview with them at the end, which is also cool. I wanted to talk about Lover to Fall just because I think it's up-tempo and cute and I love it.
It is really good. Yeah, I love this dumb song.
Yeah, it is very
it's
dumb.
It's super good.
This is like the, oh God, I have a crush on somebody and I'm flitting around because I am in love with them kind of song.
But if you're this dude, you're going to write lyrics like this. I found a new hermeneutic. I found a new paradigm. I found a plan just to make you mine. Mine.
Oh,
it's
green.
A lot. That's like, why I'm we into love you. It. I'm into it 100%, but it's a lot.
It's a lot. There is some beautiful irony in a guy who spends his time writing these brilliant lyrics and who writes a song called Small Talk.
Yep. And it's actually honestly...
It's
not that lofty of a song. It is kind of...
Yeah, right. Like, for him, this is Small Talk.
This is like the smallest talk on maybe the whole album. Yeah, I mean, it's like that very airy synth, airy vocals.
My favorite bass line, too. Bass line in this one is awesome.
It is very good.
Just one more I wanted to touch on Cupid and Psyche 85 is Don't Work That Hard. I love the drowning in my teardrops. That's a great hook.
The first line is like, it goes into, I need love for that power, but I think it always sounds like he's singing Napoleon Bonaparte. So, like, I remember the first time I ever heard this, I was like, what is this song about?
I used to think the line was, I need a foreign power.
See,
with him, you never can tell. All of that could be true.
The way he sings it, it sounds weird. So you're like, hold on, that's not definitely not what he said. But I got to figure it out.
So Skritti Palitti has a 3-year break, and in 1988 they drop their third album. Really, their second album, but okay, yeah, technically yeah. Their third album, Provision, in 1988.
Yes.
And they released this gorgeous, gorgeous ballad. We finally get like a Skritti ballad. He had one called A Little Knowledge on the last album that was more or less a ballad. But I mean, this is really his ballad. It's mm-hmm. called Oh Patty, Don't Feel Sorry for Lover Boy.
Yeah. He wants the world to love him.
I mean... This it's still Skritti Palitti, so it's a little lofty here and there, but it's a very, very, very sweet breakup
it
song.
It's like, I mean, it's 1988 pop.
Yeah.
It really is what it sounds
it's
like.
It's like if somebody broke up with me like this, I wouldn't even be mad about it.
Yeah.
You I know, mean, like it's the gentlest breakup ever.
It is.
That's
yeah.
what this song is.
Yeah, I mean, it's like very breathy. Simple, smooth 88 pop. There's not really a lot of edge to it.
Yeah, and I think the piano in it, I mean, you know, he's clearly a fan of like the FM synthesis that was cool at the time, like the Yamaha yeah, DX7 yeah. and whatnot. But I think that he probably wrote this one on like a Rhodes, like a Rhodes CP or something like that. But it sounds like an older electric piano to me. But I don't know. It's I've always loved this song since the minute I heard it. It despite its sad nature, it's just it's a great song, and even it never puts me in a bad mood to listen to it.
Yeah.
One more up-tempo single from the Provision album called Boom, There She Was.
I like this one better. It's yeah. fun. It's funky. Yeah. It's like back and, to that old
guest stars,
black pop.
Yeah. Guest stars Roger Troutman mm-hmm. and his voice box.
it definitely does. That's here.
This is the one I mentioned earlier, talking about the Tupamaros and Immanuel Kant. Yeah,
it's a lot. It's a lot.
I Got a Reason Girl was Immanuel Kant. Ooh, talk dirtier to me.
Oh, no. Anyway, now that we're out of Philosophy 101. I'm on a good seat.
This would be Skritti's last album for quite some time. We got a random single in 1991, though, that he did with Shabba Ranks. Do you even remember Shabba Ranks was a thing?
Yeah. No, I mean, no, until I watched this video and I was like...
Ugh. It's back to the whole doing more reggae.
Yeah, I don't love it. It's that kind of poppy reggae thing.
Yeah, it's called She's a Woman.
She is. It's not... If I never heard this again, it would be fine. Or any song like it.
Yeah, it's okay. It's just, you know, there was whatever, for whatever reason, an uptick in reggae pop in the 90s. And
I did like that. This just fits right in with circle, it. Like,
a la
sweat.
La la long. A la 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 long.
That's on my running playlist, and yeah. I enjoy that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But, you know.
But I don't know. Is that reggae pop? I mean, those are like actual reggae guys.
It's reggae pop. It's not real reggae. Yeah. Reggae is, you'll know real reggae because it's not really very
like,
fun to listen to.
I meant
to.
Like that's an actual reggae artist like doing a reggae song, though, a reggae pop song. But still, it's not like somebody just doing a one-off reggae song. You know what I mean?
That's very true.
Like Inner Circle yeah. was a reggae group.
I don't know. But it's like not real reggae. If it's fun to listen to, you know it's not real reggae. That's the rule.
Oh, that's funny.
No one's listened to Bob Marley and is like, whew, this reminds me of the good times.
Hey, party, turn on some reggae. Yeah, man, let's get lit and listen to songs about struggle.
Dance hall, so reggaeton, fun.
Yeah.
Pure reggae, whew.
Yep, you're right. Gritty's next album would come 11 years after the previous one in 1999 with the release of Anomi and Bonomi. And, you know, what a scritty-pullity title that is.
Yep.
Just wanted to talk about one track on this one, which he teamed up with rapper Mos Def to do. Called Tinseltown to the Boogie Down.
Scritty does hip-hop. Scritty does hip-hop. Yeah, I was reading that article I read earlier. Well, it's like talking
kind
about...
Kind of. Scritty sort of writes a beat and then Mos Def raps and then he sings the hook.
Well, like, he got like disillusioned in the early 90s with the music industry because I guess it's like overwhelmed him again, something else. So like he went and hid in Wales for a while and then he comes back and he like starts listening to like American hip-hop and he's like, yeah, now I want to do this again. So he got like really energized by hip-hop and so here he is just doing it because he's so cool. But I like this song. I really do like it.
It's very cool. The bill time is real. I swear I bring the heat, the tracks, like Val Kilmer. You know the time waits for no man. The time you'll see that you're wasting all your time while you watch TV. And yo, sweetie, I'm on it like walls to graffiti. From nightsticks to plungers to NYPD. From Lucille to BB King. You see me rhyme. What? You stay away from drama if it's wasting your time. Time tables keep turning. Tinsel time. You got the both ends burning up. Scritty's most recent album to date came out in 2006, and you can imagine my joy working in college radio at the time when I never thought there would ever be another, and then it's like, Scritty Politti's got it out, and I'm going, what? and I was worried, I was like, okay, well, it's not going to sound like good Scritty, and then I pop it in, and the first song I listen to is the Boom Boom Bap, and I thought, oh my God, he is still Scritty Politti.
It's very, I don't love it. Like, to me, it sounds like that kind of, like, crap in 2006 that was, like, partially alternative, but doesn't really have much of an identity. I feel like a lot of that music back then has no identity, and it doesn't carry on. Like, Cuban Psyche 85 has an identity.
Yes, it does.
That, like, you can, I don't know, this song is nothing to
me. I did not get that out of it at all. To me,
it's too dark.
I put this in, and I thought, this is still Greengardside doing what Greengardside does.
Yeah, I mean, I can still see a lot of it in there. I don't know. It just doesn't have any personality to me like the other stuff. You know the barroom boys, well, they fall in. And Juice joined Jane, got high. If hooks could kill, singing dollar dollar bill on the street of my heart.
There is one more great song on that record, by the way. I'm not going to play a clip, but you should check it out, called E11th Nuts. That's more just green being green and good stuff. So that's the most recent we've heard from Scritty Politti. He has not put out an album since 2006. So here we are 11 years later.
He's still in Wales.
I'm sure he is. I mean, he did a handful of live shows between like 2012 and 2013, 2014. He did some live shows.
He has a goatee now.
I did not get to go see him. I regret this, but I would have been really pissed if I had gone and he didn't do Perfect Way, I'll be honest.
Well, he probably never will.
Yeah. And that, but whatever. I guess we'll just have to live with that.
You could have just run up on stage and done it yourself.
Can you imagine? All right, good night, everyone. I took a back seat, back end. I took a back to my room.
What if I get out of Remember With You? That's
exactly what it's going to be. You fucking play the keyboards. Go.
Yeah, I mean, that's a goal in life.
I don't know. He'd probably appreciate that, honestly.
Yeah, just along that. Like, you just stay up.
He'd be like, wow,
here.
Mate, that's very punk rock of you.
Well.
Or I promise not to do that if I ever come see you, Scritty Politti.
Or maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, it's just like, it will give the audience what they want if he just stays up on stage while you do it. He doesn't even have to move. He can just sit there.
Yeah.
He can, like, read a magazine. Who cares? You're doing the hard work.
That would be the
work.
Ultimate. He could just, no, what if he comes out and, like, just plays his own CD and just plays the song while he sits there and reads a magazine while it plays?
That's performance art.
Yeah. Right, I mean, that's kind of, I'm not going to lie. When I saw Yaz live in 2008, that's kind of what they did. They did the whole Upstairs at Eric's album, including that weird ass I Before E, Except After, whatever. He literally wheeled out a reel-to-reel tape recorder, pushed play on it, the whole song play. He walked off stage And the
Clark is
the whole
a
four
badass.
And a half minute song just played, and that was that.
But I mean, if you think about it, that's kind of like Beyonce's Grammy thing. She basically sat there for a while.
Yeah, it was
she stood there for
art.
A while with a video playing for most of it. So
it was performance art. That's
yeah,
right.
I mean,
we here at Offbeat Tracks support performance art.
Yeah. Why the hell not?
So Green, we love you. If you've never heard of Skritti Pitti, we hope that now you love them as well, and that you will listen to Cupid and Psyche 85 front to back.
Yes. And then back to front.
And then back to front.
See if you can find any hidden messages if you play it backwards.
Because we know they're there.
Probably.
So we'll see you next week when we're going to talk a soundtrack that we both love. Yes. Until then, though, you can find us on offbeattrackscast.com. That's our website.
Also on Twitter, available for messaging at offbeattracks.
Yeah. So we'll see you next week.
See ya.